This is the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for Thursday, the 6th of March, 2025. Hello, I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news today, including the president asking farmers to bear with him on the tariff plan and a weed plan that will give you some in-season flexibility. Details coming up. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's forecast includes a mix of weather into the weekend before quite a warm-up next week. And the Wednesday ag markets finally rebounded. We'll have settlements for you and market analysis with Steve Erdman from Chicago on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Trump asked farmers to bear with him and finding the best way to control weeds. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's been a few days since President Trump's new tariffs against Mexico, Canada, and China have been in place. On Tuesday night, Trump told America's farmers to, quote, bear with me regarding the tariffs he's just imposed. CJ Miller has the story.
Our new trade policy will also be great for the American farmer. I love the farmer.
President Trump, during his joint address to Congress Tuesday,
who will now be selling into our home market, the USA, because nobody is going to be able to compete with you.
First of all, he says America's ag products are far superior to what's being imported into the U.S.
Because those goods that come in from other countries and companies, they're really in a bad position in so many different ways. They're uninspected. They may be very dirty and disgusting, and they come in and they pour in, and they hurt our American farmers.
He also pointed to April 2nd as the day he plans to add tariffs on, quote, external product.
It may be a little bit of an adjustment period. We had that before when I made the deal with China, $50 billion of purchases, and I said, just bear with me, and they did. They did probably have to bear with me again, and this will be even better. That was great. The problem with it was that Biden didn't enforce it. He didn't enforce it. $50 billion of purchases, and we were doing great, but Biden did not enforce it, and it hurt our farmers.
And even though President Trump didn't provide any further specifics, he did provide this closing message to America's farmers in his address to Congress.
Our farmers are going to have a field day right now. So to our farmers, have a lot of fun. I love you too.
According to USDA, China, Mexico, and Canada are the three biggest ag trade partners with the U.S. I'm CJ Miller.
From the farm bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Figuring out the best way to get rid of water hemp, Palmer amaranth, and other pesky weeds keep farmers up at night. Will Griffin, row crop segment manager for Valent USA, says they recommend overlapping residuals. He explains that's the best way to start clean, and then you'll have more flexibility as you get into the season.
So, you know, having a strong pre-program on the front end and then coming in post-emerge with another application of a product that has some residual as well. That way we're able to maintain that residual throughout the year, reduce the weeds in the field that year. And if we can do that, then as the crop begins to dry down, you have less weeds emerge, and then you have less weeds go to seed, so you have less weeds the next year.
Griffin describes a weed control plan for soybeans with Valent USA.
Our Fierce brands have multiple modes of action depending on what product you want to use, and they're the backbone of what our soybean portfolio is get a really strong pre-emerge down, get those weeds controlled, and then come back in with our post-emerge product, Perpetuo, that has a residual component in it as well. It mixes great with your glyphosates or dicambas or Enlist or glufosinate, whatever you're coming back in the field with for that post-emerge application.
You can find more weed control options at Valent.com or check with your local retailer. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Indiana Farm Forecast. I'm Andy Eubank, in for Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Today, we're going to get a break from all the rain we've been seeing this week. Expect slightly below average temperatures in the low 40s and a cloudy start to the day that becomes sunny once the morning passes. Wind gusts may get to 30 miles per hour, but those will decrease in intensity as the day progresses. The evening will see cloudy skies return, lows near freezing. That will be as long as our break from the showers lasts. Tomorrow, snowfall occurs in northern Indiana during the morning. The center of low pressure arrives in Indiana later in the day, bringing with it rain showers for the rest of the state. Rain and snow mix is possible in northern Indiana alongside rain overnight, with totals up to a tenth of an inch in central Indiana. Temperatures will then be back near the average over the weekend. Expect some mostly sunny skies. Flow will come from the southwest towards us on Monday and put us under very hot air for mid-March, far above the average, with highs regularly in the 60s and even near 70 next week. Cloudy skies return on Tuesday, followed up by rain showers Wednesday and Thursday. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm, the excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Finally, gains in the grains and oil seeds. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. All the final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. I got that commentary at the end of the session from Steve Erdman, EFG Group in Chicago. A little bit of green on the board on Wednesday, a welcome sight after a number of sessions in the doldrums. And Steve, we did see double-digit gains in beans and wheat. Corn finally, it seems, got pulled just a little higher. So a welcome respite from what we've been seeing. Any particular reason why we were able to finally stop the selling, at least momentarily?
Well, I think the discussion from the Commerce Secretary of the U.S. came out yesterday afternoon and said he was hoping that we'd be able to find middle ground with Mexico and Canada to resolve some of these issues that the new administration is trying to press for resolution for. And I think once the trade heard that, I think that stopped a lot of the liquidation. But I think primarily what we've seen is the funds have been coming out of their long positions, Andy. I think back a year ago in June or July, the funds were short probably 300,000 contracts. And over the next 6 or 7 months, they went from being short 300,000 contracts to being long 300,000 contracts. And I think that primarily was the driver for this rally in corn that took us from 360 up to 505. Well, I think when things started changing in terms of the fundamentals, when we started getting rains in Argentina, for example, and the harvest began in Brazil, and then we started talking about tariffs, I think all of these things in conjunction with the concern about this year's crop in the U.S., and the fact that the USDA conference suggested that we're going to see 94 million planted acres of corn, 84 million planted acres of beans. And you know, national average yields of 181 bushels of corn, for example, another 15.585 billion bushel crop. I don't know that we'll get there, but that's what I think was a catalyst for this breakdown in prices. And then when the fund started liquidating, there was just, you know, not enough buying on the other side of the trade to support the market the way it needed to be supported. So hopefully that is enough liquidation. We should see some kind of recovery to the upside. I'm not too bullish at this point, because I think my concern is we're going to see something even higher than the 94 million planted acres when we see the planting intentions report from the USDA at the end of this month. I think it could be 95 or 96 potentially, because of the cotton market, for example. The Southeast is really going to have a tough time justifying planting cotton when their prices are below 67 cents. So, you know, I think there's a lot of input that goes into all of these different decisions that the farmer makes in the spring. But right now, I would think that the farmer's going to have a bias to plant more corn, because it cash flows a lot better than beans do at $10 on the November board.
You kind of alluded to it, but the upward momentum today is hanging by a thread, always at risk of some maybe negative tariff type news or sentiment that could drive things back the other way.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely. You know, look at the meal market, for example. Yesterday, we took meal down to 285, and I think that's what gives the bean market the best underpinning. We've only been below 280 one year out of the last 15, and I think that was in 2016 when the market broke down to 255. So I think you got to keep that in the back of your mind, that we're in a support area. Every time the meal market breaks down to 285 or so, it finds some buying interest, because everybody else is aware of that too, and all the end users are going to sit in their hands if they can book their meal at 285, which has been a low for 14 out of the last 15 years. So when that happens, that underpins beans. But on the other side of it, I think the trade is still very concerned about the size of the Brazilian crop. And we're just getting into harvest in a big way in Rio Grande do Sul right now. And they're still suggesting that their crop's going to be 170 to 174 million metric tons. That is massive. And it's just something that's got to be absorbed in the world market. And since we're doing these tariffs, that's going to push some of that origin from the U.S. to South America. And that's also a little bit negative for our markets. In the same breath, you got to look at the dollar. The dollar's down 137 today. And a weaker dollar means we're more attractive. And I think that is part of what was behind some of our rally also. The demand was exceptional for corn, and it remains good. So we'll see what the export sales look like tomorrow morning. But I would expect that to continue to see decent demand for corn, given the weakness of the dollar.
Steve Erdman commentary. Steve is with EFG Group in Chicago. Now, settlements from Wednesday trade may corn up 4 1/4. It ends at 455 3/4. July 463 1/4, up 4 cents. The September contract unchanged, 441. May beans 10.11 3/4, up 12 3/4. July 10.25, up 11 1/4. August contract 9 1/4 higher at 10.21. Wheat futures higher as well. May 5.48 1/4, up 11.5 cents. The protein sector posted nice gains as well. April live cattle 196.55, up $1.90. April lean hogs 84.70, up $2.35. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.